Hello and welcome to 23, the podcast for young, sharp-tongued and fucking fabulous people who love to talk shit.
You'll be joined by me, Kelsey Menzies, and you,
Bella Rutherford.
And today we are talking about going into the workforce, I guess.
Leaving the soft bosom of university.
Did you have to use that phrasing?
Yeah, absolutely. This is my chance to shine and use soft bosom in a sentence that's PC. Kelsey, do you have some like fun, annoying things to share with us before you get started?
Well, before we get started, obviously, we usually talk about how our weeks have been or how our fortnights have been.
Absolutely.
And I usually say the same old thing, which is I'm really busy and stressed because I'm in my last 3 weeks of uni.
Kelsey has a script at this current point in time that she uses.
This week, I've taken note of the frustrations in my life. Some of them are very trivial, I know, but a lot of them are things maybe people can relate to. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Honestly, I might be a bit of a psychopath because I'm reading through these again and I'm thinking, wow.
Concerning. Caveat. Did you just create this podcast so you could have rants?
Is that not what all podcasts are?
That's true.
Okay, so.
You may proceed.
Okay, thank you.
So kind.
So, this is such a stupid frustration, but this happened to me way too much in the past 2 weeks.
Tell us. I really want to know.
I feel embarrassed saying it out loud now, but peeling an egg, but not just any type of egg.
I'm sorry. One more time for the fans at the back that missed the crucial statement you just made.
Look. Peeling an egg, and you're not an egg eater, so you're not going to quite get this. But when you peel an egg, and there's like the shell, and then there's the film, I guess, and then there's the actual egg. Sometimes when you cook an egg, right, and I'm talking hard boiled here, you cook the egg and the film sticks to the egg and not the shell.
I'm just crying in a corner.
So when you're trying to peel it, it's really hard and it's so frustrating. My egg just like crumbles, and the amount of times that I popped a yolk while trying to
peel. Popped a yolk. The amount of times that I've popped a yolk.
It's too much and it's a huge frustration of mine. I refuse to eat eggs now. Well, at least hard boiled eggs, because it's so freaking frustrating.
We see your frustration. We validate your frustration.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
I just, you know, I'm just going off eggs for life now.
I can't wait for me to do this next episode and you'd be like, how absurd are your frustrations?
Okay, my next frustration. If Bella, you're kind of on TikTok. I mean, you kind of make TikToks. I just watch TikToks because I'm just socially awkward. But if you...
I make TikToks because you asked me to make TikToks.
Yeah, well... Well, someone needs to compensate for the both of us. If you've been living under a rock, you might not know this, but normal people on TikTok... Recently, this girl called Bella Porsche, she took off for really no good reason, but just she did these videos where she kind of just like lip syncs, but she does these cool expressions with her face with two like really popular songs. It's hard to explain why it's so popular, but it is really popular. I think one of her videos has got like 27 million likes on it. Like, it's ridiculous how much exposure she's gotten. I didn't have a problem with it at all. I'm like, yeah, you make entertaining videos. People are making TikToks now, kind of making fun of the fact that she's so popular. And obviously it's rooted in jealousy, because a lot of the TikToks are like, if you guys paid me as much attention, I would be able to pay for my car. And if you guys paid me as much attention as her, then I would be able to do this and that. I understand your frustration, but I'm more frustrated at the fact that you're tearing down someone. You can't help that you go viral. Nobody can help that you go viral.
It is purely by chance.
It is all about when you post things at the right time. And also, it's just entertaining. People like to watch it. I know it's kind of useless. It doesn't add anything to like political discourse, but
especially in the social media sphere, like, there is so much room for new content to be created and you really don't know if it's going to work. And a lot of it is just luck. So many people that I've seen on TikTok are constantly shocked at the engagement rates that they get, purely because they're not really doing anything that interesting or worthwhile or valuable that's adding to society. But for some reason, the way that they act, their commentary is relatable enough that they're getting the high engagement rates.
Well, also, we're living in a time when everybody's stuck in their homes. I know us in Sydney, we're incredibly lucky to not be stuck in our homes, but the rest of the world, a lot of the rest of the world at least, it are still stuck in their homes. So any type of entertainment, whether that be a girl nodding her head to some songs, people, whatever, who cares? Like, if people like it, don't get your knickers in a twist because you're jealous of somebody else's success. I find it so frustrating and I cannot stand people making TikToks criticizing her. I just cannot stand for it. Stop it. Stop it.
I could not agree with you more.
Okay, my next frustration. This is not really a frustration. I guess this is more of a observation. Mm. When I first got Facebook, I kind of always wondered, how's this transition going to be from being a tween and posting about, you know, memes? And remember when people used to post, like, you know, whatever month you were born in, this is the type of alcohol you drink. We used to share that stuff all of the time.
Our Facebook feeds is like, lol, hung out with Bella on the weekend, had the best time, lol.
Terrible. Please don't, nobody go through our statuses because they were terrible.
They're so concerning. And upsetting.
Not as bad as my Twitter feed dedicated to Justin Bieber. That shit, one time I sat down for about 6 hours deleting tweets because you can't mass delete tweets. That's another frustration. Why can't we mass delete tweets?
Because then it would have too much impact on the social discourse that's shared across Twitter.
My Justin Bieber tweets from when I was 12, is that really going to make a huge impact?
Yeah, but if you allow it for that, you then have to allow it for everything. Then blanket rules.
That's stupid. So I've always wondered this, how's the transition going to be from being young adults to adults on Facebook? What's that going to look like? And it's happening. And it's so strange seeing people buy houses and have babies. And I'm still sitting from my mother's bedroom going, holy shit, am I behind the curveball? It's just strange.
The content transition is really interesting to watch, especially when you work in the media or have experience in social media. So you're extra aware and extra perceptive of looking out for changes that like lots of people would just glide past that and never, they wouldn't second guess.
Sometimes I'm just a little bit uncomfortable.
Hop off social media.
People always say that. That's another frustration. People say that, but you know it's not going to.
I think the thing is that everybody, and we all know this, social media is a bubble. You get the top 10% best parts of people's lives, and there's 90% that they would never show you and they would never communicate.
Yeah.
So we as social media users then have to take everything that we consume with a grain of salt, and it's way easier said than done, and it's something that you actively have to work on. But seeing content change, you can't reflect that back on your life. You just have to take it at face value and go, okay, cool, that's just what they're doing and I'm doing something different. And also, you don't really share that much on social media either.
No.
So you're doing sharing nothing.
I feel like a little creep in the corner sometimes.
And doing heaps, but you're just not sharing it publicly.
You know what, Bella? That is some words of wisdom.
Thank you.
Yeah, another frustration. When people say that, they're not a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. Everybody's a hypocrite because hypocrisy is a part of growing. If I was held to account to the things that I said when I was 12.
Even some of the things I said last week.
Yeah, we're all hypocrites.
And
it's
we're all learning and growing, and also our perceptions and our ideas and our values shift constantly. I think we all have to learn how to deal with hypocrisy a little bit more because I think we as individuals, especially in a modern world, are so quick to judge and are so quick to take things on face value and perceive things based on our experience that, you know, we think that we're in the right constantly and we think that we have the best opinion and we're the most informed. None of us have the best opinion and none of us are the most informed. We're all learning together. If you say something that's incorrect or wrong or that you find out later probably wasn't the best thing to say, own up to your shit, take account and then move on.
Yeah.
We all live in a state of hypocrisy and unfortunately that's being a human being, so deal with it.
This next frustration, it's not really a frustration with life. It's a frustration with myself, and I think it really embodies my social anxiety to a T. So at the moment, Macca's is doing frozen Coke Zeros.
I have no idea where you're going with this, but I'm so excited to find out.
I don't usually drink slushies because I'm really mindful of the sugar content. And I'm not saying that Coke Zero is any better for you. It's not. It's filled with chemicals. It's not good for you at all. However, every now and then when you want to treat yourself, yeah, I really want a frozen Coke, and now they have frozen Coke Zeros, so I feel a lot better about the whole situation. But I do not like going through drive-thrus. My social anxiety for some reason just curls up into a ball. I do not like it. So I was going through, I was like, yeah, you know what? I've worked hard today, did my assignments. I'm going to go get a Frozen Coke Zero, it's going to be great. But on the way to the drive-thru, I was getting really anxious because I don't like talking to drive-thru people. I do not know why. I just don't like doing it. And the way that I remedy this is in my head, I go, you know what? If I buy two Coke Zeros, then it doesn't look weird for me just buying one for myself, $1.
That is the most wild thought process ever.
So I was like, I'll buy two. So then I don't seem so weird to just buy one. So then I just got really bloated because I had two Frozen Coke Zeros.
Yeah, you need to figure out a strategy of not buying two Coke Zeros when you go.
But that is
something else other than.
I think that's a really good real world example of how social anxiety can play out in real world circumstances.
Social anxiety is constant. Like any new environment you go into, I find myself, I actually had this thought the other day, I need to stop relying on my phone to get me out of social situations that may cause me anxiety. Because you just use it. It's like a safeguard. It's a buffer. You just pull it out whenever you need it. And I need to stop. I need to live in that anxiety for a little bit and learn how to maneuver through it in like a healthy way. So then I don't have it the next time. Like if you buffer it, if you buy two Frozen Coke Zeros or if you use your phone, both examples, it's not, you're not benefiting from it. You're not learning anything. You're just like temporarily assisting yourself.
Yeah, I just
to ignore your social anxiety.
My final and last frustration, it's just like stupid frustration. I do not like it when you're saving something on your computer and you click save and it gives you an estimate of how long it's going to take when you're saving and it's always wrong. I would be much more content if they just said, we don't know. We don't know how long it's going to take to
save.
Don't
give it a numerical value. We're happy with the unknown.
Yeah.
The unknown is less stressful. I had that the other day, 4 minutes, 35 minutes later. She's still saving.
Yeah, I know. It's just stupid. Do not give me an estimate. You're always wrong. Why are you always wrong? Our computers are so advanced these days. Why?
Apple,
can you not
pick up your game?
Yeah, pick up your game. I'm over it. If you do not know how long it's going to take to save, then just say, sorry, we don't know. Come back whenever you have spare time.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Cool. Anyway, they were my frustrations for the week.
I love them so much. They are so trivial, but they're also so worthwhile and things that everybody's like, things that you never want to say out loud because you feel dumb or like you feel like they could be interpreted in a way that's kind of assumed as a bit silly or unnecessary.
Trivial.
But worthwhile.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in real world, like news frustrations, we all know The Bachelor wrapped up and as always, I didn't even watch The Bachelor because The Bachelor's, I mean, some seasons I really enjoyed. I do not know if I'll be watching the next season of The Bachelor. Don't know how I feel about the two sisters. I just think I would be much more inclined to watch it if it was a person of color or someone from the LGBTQI+ community. I would be so much more inclined to watch it if that was the case, but I'm just over, honestly, nothing against my own community, but I'm over seeing white women on the TV doing the same things that they always do.
This is so frustrating. This was my major frustration from the last 2 weeks. I read numerous articles on this. I did lots of research on it because I was so outraged that once again we have an Anglo-Saxon white woman.
Women
or two of them being the bachelorettes. Please, come on. Like we're all better than this. Also, there has been so much information and so much backlash that Channel 10 has copped about diversity. And yet again, a huge media company is ignoring their audience and their customers.
I think they'll learn the hard way through their ratings. But
and they have already seen there's already been a huge dip in ratings because this discourse is coming out from people like us and people around us that are frustrated of having the same narrative portrayed over and over again. We're bored of it. And not only are we bored of it, but it is sad and upsetting not seeing people that who have worthwhile stories allow them or giving them space to be shared. And we're over it.
But my frustration from the finale was that Lockie told Bella that he loved her and then dumped her the next day. Who does that? This just gave me like huge flashbacks to like my first love in high school and it is sickening and it's gross. Do not tell somebody that you love them and then break up with them the next day. It is not okay. It is childish and also I want to punch you in the balls a little bit.
I just how do you do that? How in your mind, in your right mind, do you rationalize using that word that holds so much power and weight with two women back to back and then letting somebody down the next day? Why? This is why the dating world is such a fucking shit show, and this is why people have heightened expectations of how people are meant to act, because we watch shows like this and we think that this is how it's meant to work, and it's just... Oh.
Well, that's like the classic example of like misrepresentation in the media. It's like what we see, you know what, you can learn about this more when I release my major work called Mic Check. It's coming out soon.
It also just shows the production behind, and not shitting on producers, lots of love, but the production behind these shows. You can just see like it's all orchestrated, it's all curated. There are so many puppeteers playing behind the scenes of these shows to make this stuff happen, regardless of whether he thought it or not or felt it or not. I don't give two shits. Somebody behind the scenes needs to go, that's not cool.
Yeah.
Let's change that.
I kind of feel bad for the Bachelorette's plural this semester?
this season.
Because they're both really lovely, incredible women. Like, they, nothing against them. They are really loving and bubbly and caring people, and I hold them in a really high regard. I think this year would have been a really great year, or the next season would have been a really great season to show some more diversity, and I think this season will go down in history as kind of the one that got away.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Bella, just quickly wrap up this little opening bit. How was your week?
My week was good. Very interesting. As I shared with Kelsey before, I'm just going to say it. We went on a double date. Well, me and somebody else, not me and Kelsey, because Kelsey's a boyfriend.
Nathan Art Attack.
Me and Kelsey went on a double date and Nathan didn't come. Went on a double date, which was delightfully interesting and super worthwhile. So if anybody is listening and is thinking maybe we should do that, do it.
Apparently Hinge is the place to go for double dates.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hinge pulled through hardcore. Very impressed. I'm going to reach out to them and say impressed. But yeah, it was really fun. And then other than that, working, uni, just like delightful little wonderful life moments, really. Let's fucking talk about not being able to get a job.
That pretty much sums it up really well, actually. So
the opener to our next segment.
Yeah. So
we are all fucked. Kelsey, lead us in.
So this week we wanted to talk about going into the job market, because it's a huge stress and anxiety for me personally.
And for me personally.
And one of the things that we first started thinking about was, does uni really prepare us to go into the job market? For me, my degree was very practical, very hands-on. I've made a lot of things that are contributing to my portfolio that I can show people. They're tangible. I mean, kind of tangible. It's all there. Go to my website, kelseymenzies.com, for future employers. How is that plug? That was really good.
Are you self-plugging on our podcast?
I am.
How? The audacity, ladies and gentlemen.
What do you mean? Support that shit. That's good. That was said quite well.
That was smooth.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway,
everyone support Kelsey because we love her.
Back to the show. So I'm leaving with a lot of things that I can use, but my degree in general constantly had conflicting information all the time.
I feel like that's every university degree.
I know.
I'm going into week four. I still have yet to get one lecture for a subject.
That's crazy.
Week four, no lectures.
That's crazy.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
It makes me really annoyed. I think when people are doing the policy making, they're so far removed from being in university that they forget what it's actually like. And I'm talking about, especially with our fees here, what we gain from university versus how much it costs. I do not know if they are the same value at the moment.
They do not equate at all.
I mean, yes, the practical experience that I got was amazing and I'm really thankful for that. But the theoretical side of it, the lectures and the tutorials, I do not think at least half of them were up to the standard of what they cost.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I have exactly the same like dissonance between what I expected and what I wanted and what's actually going to benefit me going into the workforce and then what I've actually learned and the experience that I've had. And I think that that's why I get so frustrated. I mean, you know, my point of view on uni is it's just getting the piece of paper pretty much. That's my personal point of view just from my experience with tertiary education. However, sitting through classes and paying up to $4,000 for me personally for my degree a semester to sit and listen to someone talk about what do you think about Snapchat, it's never going to fucking help me. I don't fucking use Snapchat.
Just a side note to this, you and I both do degrees where this conversation is relevant. However, there are degrees that absolutely you need a tertiary education for. Anybody in the health space, anybody in finance, 100% you need a degree for that. But I do production and journalism. Bella does marketing and PR.
Close enough. I have no idea what I do. Almost finished, still not a clue.
But I definitely think, like I said before, the practical experience that I gained and also the practical experience that I gained from the internships that I did for my own volition, they weren't even a part of my degree, that's what gave me the skills. But what's most frustrating about this, if anybody that's listening to this that is applying for jobs right now, you would know that the majority of the jobs available you need a degree for. It seems like these days to work in a cafe, you need a bachelor's degree.
Right. So even jobs that haven't previously required a degree or a bachelor's certificate,
now do.
They're a prerequisite.
Well, I look at my stepfather that works in the radio and he's a presenter on the radio now, which is a really sought after job, but he started that job from working in the mailroom. Never needed an education for that, which is fine. I mean, that's really great, but those opportunities aren't available to us anymore.
It depends on what field you're going into. I have some level of faith and belief that if you really want to get somewhere, you can get there, regardless of your education. I mean, in this social context that we're in and with the level of privilege that we have and with the level of access that we have the ability to get to places that might have otherwise been a different path to get there, let's say it that way. However, I do think that there is a combination of having faith in yourself and knowing really where you want to go and then also having evidence to substantiate why you think that you should be there. And that's what a bachelor's degree is for me personally. I know that I'll be able to get to wherever I want to be based on my personal merit, based on my personality, and based on my skills. However, unfortunately, personally, I feel that you do need that bachelor's degree to back it up, especially in these particular fields that we're going into. It just substantiates where you're at and even to the point of like dedicating yourself to something for 3 years, that you have the ability to sit through something for 3 years and to complete it in a successful way.
Well, I think that's what a lot of employers now look at degrees. It's not exactly what you've learned in that degree, but it's that you have completed a degree to a high standard in a timely manner.
Yeah, absolutely.
But in saying that, I've done two other degrees. Rest in peace, my hex debt. But, I mean, not finished them, I started them. That's the better way to say it.
I've done two other degrees and by done, I mean...
started.
Bailed.
That's a good way.
I bailed on two other degrees.
But Bella, I think you said that very well. It is just a way to substantiate.
For this particular concept that we're talking about, I also think we need to acknowledge more, and I've seen this in the last 3 years while I've been at uni, the transition from hard skills, i.e., I don't know, Excel, using Google AdWords.
Adobe Audition,
all of these programs that we use, even to the point of being able to like write a crisis communications plan for me for public relations or write a public relations campaign or create a strategy. All of these things are hard skills that you learn. I think in the last 3 years, I've really seen this transition across from hard skills to soft skills, emotional intelligence, teamwork, organization, all of these things that you really need to have in your tool belt in order to thrive in any workspace. And that's what I've seen my university specifically, and even just in general in the learning space as a whole, because I also work in e-learning and this is a huge thing in e-learning, is soft skills are so important. And that's what I've always focused on at university, being able to manage my time, being able to work in a team, being able to juggle. They're all skills that university teaches you, even though it's subconscious teaching or it's, you know, in the background of the hard skills that you're actually learning in your day-to-day life. And I think that's really important, and I think we all need to focus on that aspect of university a bit more, because I think we'll feel more fulfilled in our degrees And I think we'll feel more fulfilled in whatever learning endeavors that we go down, because we'll know that there are skills that we're building that are coming out of this that might not be as obvious as what we're actually learning and the content we're consuming.
Well said, Belle. Well said. Even after we've got our degrees and we feel accomplished, there is still the fear.
Do we feel accomplished?
I mean, kind of. I feel kind of accomplished. Some of the work that I've done throughout my degree, the stories that I've written, the people that I've met, stories that I've made, the internships that I've done, I feel accomplished.
You should feel accomplished.
But there is still the fear of going into the workforce.
Which right now, guys, is the best it's ever been, in case you haven't heard.
Yeah. So
the sarcasm translate well over podcast.
I don't know. But this is the thing. We are worse off than our predecessors. But that doesn't mean that we can't succeed. It just means that we have to work harder. And luckily,
we have to be scrappy.
Yeah, we have to be scrappy. But luckily for us, millennials are one heck of a resilient group. We've lived through three economic crises, now a pandemic.
Whatever.
We've been educated and re-educated on history. We've had to and are still upheaving discriminatory systems. So as much as I know that it's daunting as hell to go into the job market, at least we're the right generation to have all this shit thrown onto, because I don't know if others could have handled it, really.
I mean, others have handled it, but it's just been in different ways. Every generation has had their fair share of trials and tribulations.
Yeah, but
ours just happens to be an extra level of shit show. I read a few articles. I was telling Kelsey when she came over. I've been doing my research this afternoon, and by golly, is it concerning?
It's a little bit concerning.
Fun but concerning. This was in the Canberra Times, that coronavirus is going to have a major impact on our ability to find jobs and get into our actual chosen fields, which I think is an interesting point, because even if you are able to access a certain job, it might not necessarily be in the field that you have studied in or are looking to access. And that, of course, youngest people have been hardest hit by the job losses, with 9.9% nationally aged between 20 to 29 losing their job between March and May.
Yeah, it's pretty daunting. I mean, a report from the New Daily showed that over 300,000, or 16.4% of young Australians, are unemployed and looking for work. That's the highest level in 23 years. And also, another huge thing that is affecting our job prospects is that we're living in a gig economy. A lot of workplaces now are looking for one-off jobs here and there. And also, a lot of young people are participating in the gig economy. Before the pandemic, it was quite normal and also quite fruitful to do one-off jobs every now and then.
To be a contractor or to do part-time work.
To be a photographer doing weddings, stuff like that. I mean, it's not 9 to 5 every single day, but you could 100% make a living off that type of work. But now, through the pandemic, the gig economy is kind of...
Doesn't exist
anymore. I mean, but I do have hope that it will 100% pick up.
I think that the transition will go online. What we've already seen so far, I mean, even in the events industry, for example, weddings and such, have all transitioned into these online environments. And we can see that it does have the capacity to thrive in that environment. So I think it'll just be this really interesting transition time where all of these jobs that might once have been face-to-face will then transition into an online context. And hopefully people can adapt to the changes and then thrive in that new kind of sphere.
Yeah. I mean, I read this article by the HuffPost, and just by the way, this article was so beautifully done. It was like interactive. I really highly recommend everybody to go read it. I mean, the title is, and I think we can all relate to this, Millennials Are Screwed.
Oh, I read one that says Millennials Don't Stand a Chance.
Wow. Wow. Really?
It's really helpful.
Really positive things going on here. But this is by Michael Hobbs, and I think the opening line to this kind of sums up my fear. I know the HuffPost is an American publication, but Australia kind of just is kind of like America.
We're all interlinked.
Michael Hobbs, this is how he opened the piece. He said, "I am 35 years old, the oldest millennial, the first millennial, and for a decade now I've been waiting for adulthood to kick in. My rent consumes nearly half my income. I haven't had a steady job since Pluto was a planet, and my savings are dwindling faster than the ice caps the baby boomers melted."
All I heard from that is Pluto isn't a planet, and it makes me sad. Mm. Poor Pluto.
Poor Pluto.
But yeah, all very valid points.
It's just daunting to know that even if we do get jobs, they might not be in the fields that we've worked hard for. People ask me all the time, where do you think you're going to be working in the next year? And I always say, I really want to get into radio production. However, luckily I've done a degree where I have skills that I can work across a lot of different fields. I could go into commercial advertising if I wanted, the production side of that. I could go into film or television. There's a lot of different aspects for me, but the one that I really want, I know that it might not be open for me. So I know that most likely I am going to have to compromise. I don't mind compromising, but I just know that it's a reality. And I know that I'm lucky that I have a degree that I can compromise. I have the ability, I have a little bit of wiggle room, but still a lot of people are doing jobs that they don't really actually want to be doing.
I think it's finding the balance between being realistic and then being positive or hopeful. The balance between realism and hopefulness is such an interesting balance beam to be on, because you need to be hopeful and you need to have faith and you need to be positive that something will come along or that you'll find something that you really love. But then you also do need that realistic aspect in the situation and motivating you and driving you, because you don't want to go too far out of your realm of possibility. And as millennials, I feel like we are quite a hopeful cohort. We have faced lots of difficulties and lots of complex issues. We are scrappy. We do adapt, and we can.
We're reflexive.
Yeah.
That's a buzzword that I heard today. And I was I like that word. Yes.
And we can try new things and we can change and we can evolve as need be. But I do think we need to keep that little bit of hope.
We do need to keep a little of hope. I am going to squander it for a second though, because there is a lot of evidence to suggest that when you enter the job market, especially after a recession, has a huge impact on the amount of money that you earn. This is once again from the HuffPost, which I know is an American publication, but it does translate in Australian circumstances as well. But I mean, if you're looking at the past GFC, people that graduated 2 years after earned nearly $60,000 less than if you graduated in 07, which was just when the GFC was happening. So there's evidence to suggest that if you're entering the job market just a little bit after a recession has hit, that
i.e. now.
Well, honestly, luckily for us, we might just be on that cusp, but I wouldn't be surprised if the salaries for entry-level jobs started dropping soon. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I do think that we have to know about these things before we do enter the job market, because I think it will help us shape the careers or the career paths that we're going to go down.
It'll also help shape our expectations and knowing not to be upset or be annoyed or get frustrated because it's difficult. Understanding that it might not be what you want it to be right now, but just to hustle and get it done and do what's best for you and know that eventually it should get better.
It is also a little frustrating that, I mean, the government did allow people to take money out of their supers. And of course, who were the main group that took money out of their supers? Young Australians. And I think when you look at what our salaries might be in a couple of years' time, it's disheartening that instead of putting
strategic processes in place now to ensure our economy doesn't fail,
we're just going to be creating problems for at least young people later down the track. Like, I know right now it doesn't seem like a big deal taking money out of your super, and in some circumstances it is 100% necessary.
We need our avocado toast. Who the fuck is going to fund our avocado toast?
That is sarcasm, by the way, if you can't translate that over the mic.
Sarcasm, but also a little true.
But
I just got an eye roll.
You got an eye roll because also my statistics do show that if we spent the same amount that our parents spent at the same age, we still wouldn't be able to afford a house. That's all I'm saying. But
did you see that? It was like an article on the internet and it was titled, "Well, now that millennials aren't buying avocado toast, can everyone afford a house?" No, still no. Surprisingly, still shockingly. No.
Still no. But like I was saying, what is already going to be a huge problem, what is already a huge problem now is going to be an even worse problem down the track. And we are the ones that are going to feel it the most. Because we're young, I think it's really easy to palm off problems to us because we supposedly have time to fix those problems. But if you look at the data, it's actually not as much time as we think we have.
Yeah. I want to say one thing really quickly that's kind of counteracting this.
Okay. Yeah, no, go. We love counteractions. Tell me.
I finally learned something interesting at uni, shocker.
Tell me.
So this is kind of in contrast to what we're talking about, which does just restore my little bit of hope in me, which I think is a really interesting point and definitely something that Kelsey and I have benefited from and definitely something that I see lots of our friends benefiting from. So this was an article by Carolyn Kim. She's an associate director of public relations at Biola University in California. And it was in an article she wrote about social media campaigns and strategies for public relations and marketing. But she made a really interesting point that I think contrasts really well against this concept that we kind of fucked. So she said, "The best truth of power is the power of thought to get itself accepted in competition of the market. These days, if you have something true to say, and I mean true here broadly, not just truthful or factual, but also truly funny, truly moving, or truly beautiful, this new digital world empowers you to communicate it to anyone, anywhere, regardless of medium." And I think this concept, although it's really broad and it is in the context of creating strategies and in regards to marketing and public relations specifically, but this is our superpower as young people. We have the capacity to create things that have never been created before. And we have the capacity to tell stories and to share our experience and to reflect and to hold ourselves accountable and grow and to relate to an audience through social media and through digital platforms that our predecessors never had access to. And I think that that is going to be how we all find our place in this world and what we all end up doing, especially in our industries. And that's what we're doing with this podcast. We've created something from nothing that's right now financially not benefiting us in any way, but could end up being something that's really fruitful and could end up being our job.
I mean, that's the dream.
But I just do think it's a really interesting concept because I think we're really quick to palm off hobbies or palm off passions. But if it's something that's really worthwhile and that's really going to make an impact or that's really going to connect with people, it could be something that ends up being your profession.
But that's what I mean about the gig economy, is that lots of young people are turning to side hustles to make money.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you. I do think it is our superpower, but also my
pessimist brain, your realistic brain.
My realistic brain is that the market is so saturated at the moment with content. And I'm not saying that that is a ticket to hell or that we're doomed, but if anything, it's an incentive to think more outside the box or be more creative.
Absolutely.
But the market is incredibly saturated, which is fine. I mean, in all honesty, I like that the market's saturated because you and I can sit down and do this little podcast and have fun and talk shit, and it's just for us and the people that listen to it. We don't really have any risks. I mean, I hope not.
The stakes aren't that high. We're not relying on it to
our lifestyles. We do it, in all honesty, I think doing things like this, and not everybody has to do a podcast, but things like this drives us in our careers because we have things that are making us happy on the side.
Yeah.
Good on us, really.
Being happy. Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it?
Really?
But look, just to finish our little segment off, I want to talk about something that I think happens all the time, but we don't talk about that often. And that's being jealous of your friend's success. We are both graduating uni at the moment. Our friends have either just graduated or they are in the process of graduating. And a lot of them are landing those dream jobs. A lot of them are starting businesses or doing things that they've always wanted to do. And it's really easy to sit and look at your friends and feel jealous. And this is the thing, when it's a friend that you love and that you care for, your best friend, and they're succeeding and you are genuinely happy for them, you are proud of them, you want to shout their name from the rooftop, but you still cannot help the fact that you are jealous. And when it's a good friend, you feel angry at yourself for feeling jealous in the first place because you know it's kind of like that icky feeling. You know that you love this person. You know that they deserve their success, and you kind of get a bit mad at yourself that you are feeling jealous. But I think we have to realize that jealousy is an emotion just like love and hate and anger. It is a natural part of the way that humans process the world around us. This happens all the time. It's happened a lot in our own friend group. And I think talking about it with you and just thinking about it and being more open about it is at least helping me be able to work through it, because at the end of the day, you're not actually jealous of your friend. You're just scared that you yourself are not going to reach the same success that they have.
You're projecting your fear, and it's coming out as jealousy is kind of how it's functioning. This particular concept happens in every different aspect of your life. Comparison is the devil, as we all know, and with social media, it makes it way more obvious. But the weight of finding a profession and finding a job that you love and that you're good at, it can dictate the course of your life. And it holds a lot of weight, especially for young people entering the job market for the first time in their field. And it can be really scary and stressful and anxiety-inducing to be struggling with trying to navigate that realm of where do I go, what do I do, how do I get there? And then on the other side, you have all your friends just maybe not cruising through, but it just seems like it's going easier for them. And it just adds to the anxiety that's already there. And when you're double anxious and double stressed, because not only are you feeling insecure and like you're not succeeding in the way that you want to, and then you're watching your friends succeed in a way that seems quite organic, it just compounds the stress.
Studies do show that we're more prone to envy when it's with our friends or the people that are closest to us, because it is a direct reflection of you. Not a direct reflection of you, but you just feel it more.
You're linked with those people more. They're a part of your life. They're your family. They're like almost all of the people in your life are like one big mirror image of you. Mm. You're connected to them in such a strong way.
But also when you're feeling jealous of your not so good friends, and so sometimes if you don't agree with the way that they've got their success, whether it's through their social standing or through nepotism, that's when jealousy turns into rage, and that's when we start to see the claws come out, and that's when the bitching behind each other's back happens. I went onto Reddit and kind of did a little deep dive. Reddit is so good at just digging up shit.
I do not know how Reddit works. You're really going to have to teach me.
I don't know how it works either. Honestly, I have no idea how it works.
In my head, Reddit is the black market. Yeah, I don't know why, just because it's so out of my realm of reality.
You know what the thing about Reddit is that anybody can post anything, and for the most part, you're anonymous. People do not know who you are. It's not like Facebook.
Do they have moderators?
I'm sure they would. Right. I cannot tell you for sure, but from some of the stuff that's posted on there, you wouldn't think so. But this Reddit user summed up exactly how I don't want my jealous reactions to be. This person said, "I want to die because my friends are going to university and I'm going to fucking community college. I'm so jealous of the people who are more successful than me. I hate them all." That is not what I want to be like. And I think when we don't talk about jealousy in this aspect, that's the type of person that we turn into. There's nothing worse when sometimes this happens when you're at a random party and someone that you kind of know will come up to you and they'll start bitching about other people. And
wild statement.
I'm going to think about this next time someone's bitching to you. I would say that about 80% of the time, it's about the other person's success. And the thing is, success not just in...
As in the person that's bitching success.
When someone's bitching to you, the person that they're bitching about the other person's success. And not just in a job, but also success with love or success with money or success with friends. It's always about jealousy in the end. That's why we bitch.
But it's not about jealousy. It's about insecurities.
Oh, insecurity as well.
Psychologically, if you look at the crux of the issue of jealousy, you're not jealous of somebody because they have something that you have. You're jealous of them because they have something that you don't have or that you think you don't have. If you're really reflecting on it, jealousy is born from insecurity. If you're secure in yourself and you trust yourself and you feel happy and comfortable and stable in your life, insecurities probably aren't that prevalent. Therefore, jealousy probably isn't that prevalent.
Mm.
So I think that when you... This is what frustrates me when it comes to this concept. We really have to be self-reflexive. If we're jealous, why are we jealous? Is it out of fear? Is it out of fear of the unknown, concern, stress, anxiety? Where is the jealousy coming from? It's not coming from the other person. That other person's living their life. They're separate from you. You have to pause and reflect and look into yourself and say, why am I actually jealous? And then how can I work towards becoming not jealous?
And I think the biggest thing for me is I'm changing the wording in my head from, fuck, I'm really jealous of this person, or, oh, like, why don't I have that, to, wow, I'm really inspired by this person. I'm really inspired by my friend. And that makes me work a little bit harder, because
– change that narrative, girl.
Yeah, well, it's like you don't want that – sometimes we get this internal monologue of vitriol about ourselves and other people. That's when friendships, especially at this age, start hitting the fan.
Absolutely. Exactly what you've just said, changing that narrative. It's really worthwhile to be really aware of the words and of the thought process that are going through your head. And it's something that we all need to work on as individuals, especially in our kind of cohort. If you can actively recognize what's happening in your head and why you're thinking the way that you're feeling, and then you can actively change it, not only is it going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit everybody around you as well. And you're going to feel way more fulfilled, and your relationships are going to be so much better for it.
100%. To wrap this up, I just want to say, and we've put this on our Instagram page a lot of times, but celebrating others' success will never fuck up your own. But I'm going to put a little asterisk there, but it's hard.
It sucks. It's so hard.
It's hard. But that's okay, because luckily we have a community here. Come talk to us. We will be your confidants. Oh, I was going to say waterboards, but that was not the right word.
And it's getting dirty, so we best go.
We best go now. Well, that's it from us today.
Oh, fuck, we have to do the ending again.
Yeah, I know.
I'm stressed.
Thank you.
Like, share, subscribe, follow.
No, we'll do this properly. Okay. Thank you for listening to 23. The best way to support us is to click that little subscribe button on Apple Podcasts or follow on Spotify.
Also, check us out on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn? Oh my God. That's really telling.
Cool. Apparently we have LinkedIn. My brain just did that without me even realizing. Follow us on Instagram. If you want to send us a DM with any questions you want to ask, we love answering DMs. Well, I do, Kelsey doesn't.
Yeah. Well, if you want to talk about jealousy, or you don't have friends to talk about it to, come talk to us about it.
We love talking, in case you didn't realize. Yeah.
Love talking.
Love it. Great. Love talking. Love each other. Love wine. Let's go drink wine.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Belle.
Bye. Bye, Kels.
Bye.